Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on a Friday. So we're in dipper number one, talking about what I refer to as national insecurity. I still believe that we have the greatest military in the world. I still believe that we're the greatest nation in the world. I still believe that we have everything it takes to make America great again. But right now, we're also dealing with an administration that seems to have no clue what it means to secure our nation and to grow our military and to project force on the world stage. And that's where we are. That election can't get here soon enough. Well, listen, somebody who has truly been in the mix, who is, I don't know how she sleeps, but she's all over the place giving speeches and doing the things and representing our state well is our junior senator from the state of Alabama, U.S. Senator Katie Britt. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thank you so much for having me on. I always love being on with you, being in front of your listeners, and I am actually headed from Huntsville right now down to Birmingham, where I'm going to a volleyball tournament before I head to Tuscaloosa to then come back to Birmingham. So to your point, we are zigzagging the state.
Well, you are. I like to say that sleep is highly overrated, and you're proving it.
That's right. That's right.
Well, listen, the Biden administration, there's a word, by the way, we use on this show a lot. It's not a common word. Don't know if you've heard it. It's great for Scrabble, but it's a real word. It's kakistocracy. And a kakistocracy is a word that is defined as a government run by the least competent of its citizens. And I feel like that's where we are.
Oh, absolutely. First off, you have taught me a new word today, so we're going to have to go ahead and just get that in the repertoire there. But honestly, what we're seeing from the Biden administration at every turn, and it is the Biden-Harris administration, and I think people need to remember that, is just total weakness and total failure. And I think it's important, particularly in the midst of this election season, while Kamala Harris attempts to distance herself from the decisions that are being made from this administration of which she's part of, is that Joe Biden has said she has been in the room for every decision and they have made those decisions in lockstep with each other. And so that starts with a disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan that you and I have discussed at length that really projected weakness and vulnerability on the world stage for our nation. And that unfortunately has continued. We have seen our adversaries take advantage of Biden and Harris's inability to do hard things. You've seen, obviously, what's happening with Putin. You see what Xi Jinping has said about it. It's not an if, but a when we take Taiwan. And then everyone is watching what is happening in the Middle East unfold in front of our eyes. And Phil, I don't know if you all talked about this right now, but Israel is the only beacon of democracy and is one of our obviously greatest allies, and I believe as a Christian and as an American, we must firmly stand with Israel. But Joe Biden will put out a statement and Kamala Harris that says the things they need to say, and then they will undercut our greatest ally at the very end by calling for a ceasefire, saying that they need to do this, not standing with them in strength, and therefore allowing our adversaries, their adversaries, which, by the way, are these same people, to begin to know that that or believe that our support is being eroded, that it is weak, and that they, if they wait us out, they ultimately will win, and we're all going to pay the price for the weakness of this administration, that's for sure.
Well, it is, and I don't know if you saw it or not, because I know you're on the road, but apparently Joe Biden did a very rare press conference just in the last hour or so, and he literally said, and I don't know why he would even bother uttering these words, that Israel is not going to take any action against Iran anytime soon. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's what he said, as if he knew their plans and he was letting the world know that there's nothing coming. And I just found that to be dumbfounding that he would say that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have served and bravely served in uniform for our nation. And so here you have men and women stepping up with courage to protect the freedom that we enjoy.
Oh, did we lose her?
Undermining.
There you are. We lost you there for a second, Senator. Yeah, I got you back.
Sorry about that. Well, you think about the IDF and the Israeli forces. You would never project your plan of war.
No.
Never.
No.
Never project that. You would not put these men and women in uniform in a vulnerable position. You wouldn't do that to our own men and women. You don't do that to our allies. And It is absolutely despicable and disgraceful that he would project anything other than this is Israel's decision to make, and we stand by our greatest ally in the Middle East, and that's it. I mean, that is it. So, I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are Iran's best hope. I mean, there is a reason that it's well documented that Iran wants to assassinate President Trump, and why they want Harris to win. It's no doubt our nation is less safe, our nation is less secure because of Biden, because of Harris, and the failures that they have exhibited that have been on full display for the world to see the past 3.5 years, to me, have created a world on fire and complete and total chaos, not just abroad, Phil, but at home, too, because what's happening at our border is an utter disgrace. And as you and I have discussed before, a nation without border is not a nation at all.
That's
and
right.
What they're allowing to happen in the interior of our nation is absolutely just despicable.
Well, let me ask you, with the few minutes we got left, those comments, you and I say that, and I don't think you and I live in a bubble. I mean, I think the vast majority of people are concerned about some polls show they're concerned about it. But then we also see that the mass polls, the ones that kind of aggregate things, still indicate it to be a very close race. So what do you think? What's the straight skinny from you on where we go for the next 30-ish days to get to the election?
Yeah, so we've got to pay attention, obviously, as many people have said, there are, you know, 7-8 states that are really in play that are going to make the difference. Now, I don't want anyone listening to us to think that doesn't mean they don't need to go vote. We need everyone to vote in every corner of every state, including Alabama. We want to drive up that popular vote to show not only the nation but the globe that America is ready to be safe and secure and strong once again. But if you look at this, one of the things we've got to focus on, you've got many states at play here. Obviously, we need to win for the presidential. We want President Trump to win Georgia. We need him to win Pennsylvania. There are other avenues if those two things don't happen. People talk about the combination of Wisconsin and Michigan and being able to do those together. But there's going to be a lot of eyes on North Carolina. And let me tell you why. Number one, not only our eyes, but our hands and our feet. You know, we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we all need to be doing everything we can to help the people, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, those affected by this storm. Unfortunately, we haven't seen Joe Biden or Kamala Harris show the type of leadership that we need. And our state has been ravaged with storms, whether it be hurricanes or tornadoes. And we all know that when that happens, I know when our family went through what we went through, you know, people showing up matters. And early on, you have President Trump showing up. You have him, you know, what do you need? How can we make this happen? Calling Elon Musk, trying to get Starlight in there. I mean, the Trump administration puts Americans first, and obviously this administration does not. But you need to look at that because there's going to be questions about voting there and how can people who've mailed, there's just going to be all kinds of things. And North Carolina is a very important state. So we've got to make sure we continue to drill our message home. I thought JD did an exceptional job of doing that, asking the question, are you better off now than you were 3.5 years ago? And even Kamala Harris cannot answer yes to that question. And so he did that. He also reminded people what a Trump presidency was like, you know, what it means, what America First really means. And that means, to your earlier point of projecting that strength and making sure that our servicemen and women are the best trained, equipped, and ready, making sure that we have a secure border, making sure that your dollar goes further. And you look at Kamala Harris and the policies that she is putting forth and has supported, things like taxpayer-funded gender reassignment surgery for people who are not here legally. I mean, she, you know, you think about the fact that she doesn't, you know, has said, I don't want a wall, but yet at the same time, we see the wall in her campaign commercials. She said, I'm against fracking. I'm against drilling. She does not want America to be energy independent or energy dominant. All of a sudden on the campaign, because she realizes energy affects everything and it's fundamentally un-American for us to not do this, she's now changing her tune. So I think we've got to be smart. I think we've got to drill down on the issues, show America and remind them what it was like under President Trump, and also what we can't sustain 4 more years. Not he's at home, not on our world.
Oh, we're losing
the globe. That would inter with that we would encounter with a Kamala Harris presidency.
Well, Senator, I mean, you're spot on, and I knew your stance. I mean, obviously, you and I are aligned to that thinking. The reality is, we got 30-something days, and I gave a monologue yesterday on my show, and I said that if you look at military action, you try to choose the key terrain. You don't go fight the battles that the enemy wants you to fight. Right now, our key terrain is that roughly 10% that says they don't know yet how they're going to vote, and that's those battleground states,
right.
And that's those people that are still making up their minds. But you're right, hammering the message over and over again of the greatness of who we are as a nation, and then projecting what it would take to change our current course is what's going to do it. Listen, you're on the road, and I appreciate you making time for us here, spur of the moment.
I appreciate
so
you
much.
Letting me come on, and you and JP. So y'all have a great afternoon, and thank you for what you do. And anyone who's listening, call a friend in another state. We got to continue to build this coalition. There is too much at stake for the next generation and sustaining the country that we know and love. So let's all get engaged and everyone do our part.
Good enough. U.S. Senator Katie Britt, enjoy your weekend. Thank you. All right. Well, listen, I ran that right up to the break. So let's go ahead and take the break right now. We'll do that. We'll come back. She had some great points about national security, and she had some also great points about the fact that Kamala Harris apparently couldn't care less. Did I say that right? Couldn't care less about national security. That creates national insecurity. I'll tell you about a few things that are out there that you might want to know about. And then coming up, we got another interview, bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.